And what we have heard from teachers is that they love cowbell students because they are ready to learn. They know how to cut. They've been social. I mean, literally with scissors. They know how to socialize. They know their colors. They know their shapes. And they are ready. And from a research perspective, we know that if a kiddo starts school and they like it, they are much more likely to be successful all the way through and finish school and go on and be able to use that education. So that's why this is so important. Moving on to community services, which is the next slide. Our Story County Library, it's exciting. We're over 300 patrons. First time we've been over 300 since we inherited, took over the library operation several years back. So it's moving forward, which is great. A lot of different groups use the meeting space upstairs. We have a smart board, and with James' help to have the high-speed internet, we're able to use that smart board to network in folks from outside of the area. We're expanding our available resources. We have over 5,500 books. We have 16,000 different ebooks. So if folks don't have a library card, they want to be a part of that, please come to the library and get one, because it's actually really kind of exciting to see what's available to check out. And then if you move down a little bit lower there, food assistance. We saw an increase in food assistance. We're able to provide fresh fruits and vegetables, meals, pantry essentials, snacks, holiday meals, and school lunches, and school support. And Thanksgiving, we served Thanksgiving dinners to 53 families, consisting of 138 adults, 119 children. You can see Christmas was very similar. And then in that bright green box, school lunches, over 1,000 different school lunches, families visiting the food bank, 49, individuals served through the food bank, 118. And at the bottom there, Angel Tree was also our largest year yet. In fact, we had, I think, an entire school that was adopted by a local community group as well. So people really get behind the Angel Tree program. This seems to be something that is a program of pride for the community, and over 215 adults and children received a needed warm winter item and toy for the holidays. The health center, which is the next one down here, we had patient visits of 641, which is on par with the previous year, but we did add some new patients. So we added 30 new patients, bringing the total number of established patients to over 429. That's the largest caseload in 3 years. Most of those are actually in-person visits now. During COVID, a lot of it was telehealth, but it's like maybe less than 10%, I think, is telehealth. Affordable, obviously, because the program's designed to be affordable. And then out of the 641 appointments scheduled, 73% of those were kept, equaling 466 appointments that were completed. Lockwood Home Visits, which is the next part of the community health nursing pie, is where we have an APN. His name's Brian. Not an APN. Is it an APN? Is he an APN? Okay. Yeah, Brian, who also works for Nevada Health Centers, he visits Lockwood once a week, primarily works with the Story County Senior Center down there, and he visits an average of 10 clients per week, either in the office or doing home visits.
Eric? And sorry to interrupt. What's an APN?
Advanced Nurse Practitioner. Thank you. Then, last but not least, the mental health advocacy and advocacy. So counseling has increased. On the right-hand side, you see it's about 25% in terms of numbers. Crisis intervention, over 100 clients receive intervention services. TV clients, over 60 victims of domestic violence, sexual assault. These are Story County specific numbers, by the way. Justice assistance, 45 clients receive criminal and civil justice services. Shelter support, over 10 nights in shelters were provided. Personal advocacy, over 65 personal advocacy and accompaniment for victims of crime. And then school supports, again, with a great partnership with Story County School District. And Sonia Hicks, the principal over at the elementary school, and Brett Judy, principal at middle school in Lockwood, and also, help me, Sean Marie, thank you, Chapman, the principal at the high school. We helped provide mental health supports within each of those schools throughout the week so that the students have access to resources to stay resilient. That's in addition to the school pantries we do. And I think it was a year or two ago when we determined that we probably touch about 30% of the student body throughout those different schools. And that is really the the end of my report. If you have any questions, we try a different format, hopefully, rather than me coming up and just reciting facts, and it kind of gets a little boring. I was hoping this infographic presentation would be a little bit more impactful for you and help you to digest it a little bit. So if anybody has any questions or comments, I'm happy to take those. Yeah.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Eric Schoen?
No questions. Thank you, Eric.
All right. Sure. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
With the child care programs, you know, I'm encouraged to see that you received that grant. In addition to physical space, what are the other constraints, as far, if you had to rank them, as far as providing more services?
So for sure, physical space, we just don't have any at the moment. So, and once you've got your physical space, it's staffing. And, you know, just like any employer, we also have difficulty at times attracting folks to our positions. And with respect to ECE, those positions have historically been underfunded. So we've made an intentional decision in our programs to pay livable wages with benefits so that these can be real careers, because this is real work. And these women, primarily women who are doing this work, should be paid commensurately with that experience and that expertise. And so we have made a commitment to paying a livable wage as well as benefits for the full-time staff who are there, and in the hopes that if they want to make a career of this, then it's a benefit for everybody. They're in a place where they're supported, they feel supported, and the community benefits from the accrual of that ongoing experience and investment of their time.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, is the demand such that that as you expand it, you'll fill to capacity fairly quickly?
I think so. The other thing that we, so not only do we really try to make sure we are at the top tier with quality for the program, we also try to make sure we are at the bottom of pricing. We want this to be affordable. We want it to be accessible. I think the target demographic is really working families, the folks who are living on the margins anyway, and where inflation is, they're feeling the biggest pinch from inflation. And so that's really the target demographic for us. And because there's less demand and a lot of the places off the hill are charging double, triple what we charge, yes, I think that'll fill.
Okay.
I don't even think. I know it'll fill.
Yeah. Is there room in the mix for, and I think we may have talked about this a year or two ago, supporting small in-home in addition, as more of a workforce development, entrepreneurial, helping people with the resources to get certified and what might need to be done, obviously more limited than what you're hearing.
And so you're thinking that model where they would provide care for four or five kids within the home. My understanding is the state has worked on that at different points in time. I don't know where they're at on prioritizing that at this point in time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it might be something good to bring up with the legislature.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Eric, the only thing I want to say is that, I'm always amazed at what you and your team are able to do. You're sort of down there off the main drag. But I think, you guys do a lot of your work behind the scenes. But it's amazing how many county residents that you guys are able to reach out and assist. And again, just blows my mind. Keep up the great work. Mm-hmm. I try to push people your way when they're looking for something, but you definitely do some fantastic work out there, and it looks like, the more we give you, the more space we give you, the more you'll be able to handle. So we'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Thank you again.
I appreciate
for that.
It. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment for Eric? All right. Well, thank you again for the presentation, and that PowerPoint did help, so for what it's worth next year. All right, let us move on to item number 15, I believe. We're on item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to AB 63, Story County's I-80 Safety Corridor Bill, BDR 460, Land Transfer Bill, SB 81, the Regional Coordination Bill, and other properly related matters. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I just want to remind us that Mary Walker and Will Adler, Sarah Adler, Helen Foley may be on Zoom at this point. They're probably in committee, but I certainly would be welcome to open this discussion to them. Also, we did try to put these two agenda items next to each other so that the fire chief, again, can come in while we're still in the lobbying legislative theme, as he has comments for the fire district on these items as well. I'm just going to summarize a little bit what the bills are of most important to us right now, and I'm open to any other discussion. Senate Bill 81 is the biggest one that we're keeping an eye on at the moment. This is from Skip Daly, and it essentially takes AB 240 from the 2019 legislative session, which meant that the county managers all meet quarterly, and then at the end of the year, we write a report and talk about how we're all working together, meaning Douglas, Carson, Washoe, Story, and Lyon, and then the cities are there as just participatory. He would like to expand that to include a couple legislators. Commissioner Mitchell and I had met with Skip Daly, Senator Daly, and talked to him about that and said we were fine if there was a couple legislators on there as just observant and participate in conversations, that the more the merrier. Let those folks be able to see what's actually going on. And we had made a point, Mr. Daly had asked about, you know, what kind of collaboration goes on at these meetings and described it. He said the reality is the collaboration goes on a daily basis throughout the year between these jurisdictions, whether it's water, transportation, housing, 911 dispatch, IT services, sheriff, fire, all different kinds of our departments are involved interlocally in various programs. That's really where this regional discussions are happening. These formalities are important too, but not actually as much as what's really going on in the field. So SB 81 came out, and we were expecting it to be, as we discussed, and what actually includes is now the county managers in these jurisdictions have a conversation, and the legislators do as well, and the legislators are only the majority parties, and then also the cities of Reno and Sparks and perhaps Fernley would be in this as well as voting members. They would outvote the county managers, very much outvote Story County on anything that gets published or pushed out of this. And essentially, you could very easily set up a framework for future legislation that would be disadvantage to Story County and maybe even to the other rural counties in this area. So we are working with our lobbyists and working with folks and with Mr. Daly on making amendments to this. And really what our amendments are that we're proposing to this board and kind of get direction on is that we kind of bring it back to the AB 240 model that exists today, is just go ahead and continue the conversations, let those county managers have these discussions, bring a couple legislators in. We would also like to bring a couple minority party legislators and one that represents Story County to the table as well, but not as voting members. It would still be the counties, and the cities can be there and they can participate in conversations, but they would not really be part of the overall the voting or the motions to move any kind of material such as a report out of this committee. And one thing that's real important to note is AB 240 and SB 81 are about regional planning, regional coordination, regional orderly growth. These are things that counties do. That's what they do. Cities do not. Cities focus exclusively on their own issues. Counties, a lot of times, will look at issues that are outside the county that affect the region as a whole. And our team has so far recommended to us that we keep that focus on the counties are the ones that do regional planning or regional discussions and that the cities can participate. The last thing I'll mention on this one before going to another bill is we are emphasizing for every county in the state of Nevada, whether it's Clark County, Humboldt County, any of them, this bill affects them, whether it's just us or not. These exact same things that come out of this can affect any county in the state of Nevada equally as importantly as what's going on here in Story County. And other counties know this, and they're participating in early discussions at this point. So before I go to another bill, I welcome a discussion, any thoughts and suggestions, and ultimately kind of a guidance from this board to proceed accordingly with our lobbyists and other folks on our team.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments before Austin goes forward?
You're on mute. Commissioner Gilman, you're on mute.
Yeah, geez, I'm out of words. No, I support our staff's approach wholeheartedly on this. We need to continue the good fight, and we don't want to let something like SB 81 get out of control here to the detriment of the county. So I applaud and support the direction that our staff is taking. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I as well support that direction. I think there's certainly some value that can come from these conversations, but as the county manager has pointed out, it's important that we keep the proper perspective and the proper roles. And there's a fair amount of concern about the legislature getting involved in local regional planning issues from an authoritative perspective. Certainly we welcome their insight and input. I think it's valuable to have, especially as this is a study group that generates reports with potential recommendations for legislation to help in the future. And so it's good to have their expertise on how to structure and what might actually work in those regards. That being said, it would be concerning if the group, the voting membership, if you will, of the group was expanded out to the point where you had all the city representatives in more than just a consultative role, but actually driving the agenda here, and same with the legislators. I believe that those conversations should happen directly between the counties, and certainly welcome the assistance, but should not be driven or directed by outside influences.
Thank you. I'd have to agree with my fellow commissioners, Austin. So if you'd like to move forward, I don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you. And I'll add to SB 81 and related regional bills. We had talked about the fiscal analysis report being completed. Everyone in the room is aware that report is done, and it is posted on the county manager's website. You just go to storycounty.org, click on the county manager, and it's right there on the left pane. Anybody can look at the report. It's a overview of all the fiscal outputs that are going on from Story County to Washoe County, as published by existing data. Approximately $3.5 billion is generated just from the Gigafactory alone at Tri-Center into Washoe County, using a multiplier effect that was used in the Governor's Office of Economic Development and other reports. You could actually assume that multiplier could be generating $5 to $7 billion to the region. Most of this generation is in sales tax output. Those employees that work in Tri and buy their Fords or Chevys and their movies and their dinners and whatever else in the neighboring county. And it's showing that approximately 1% of the employees that work out at Tri-Center are spending money in Story County. The rest of them are spending money in adjacent county. So that paper is out, it's published, anybody's welcome to comment on it. It's considered a talking paper or a fluid document, so if there's changes and amendments that need to be made, those amendments are certainly welcome at this time, and we can make them very quickly. Also in the website are all the exhibits that go along with it. There's some studies and things that are attached to it that are referenced in the report that people can easily find and be able to reference. If you want, I'll move to the next item, unless you have any questions about the fiscal report.
I don't have any. Do you have any? Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions on the fiscal report?
I do not.
Thank you.
All right. Thank Please. You. The next one is Story County sponsored a bill, Assembly Bill 63. It's known as the I-80 Safety Corridor Bill. There's really three pillars to this bill. One is actually creating a regional conversation between Reno Sparks, Washoe and Fernley, Lyon County and Story County, and NDOT and RTC to come up with ways to address problems on the interstate between Sparks and Fernley. There are some short-term resolutions that are suggested in here, and we have met with the new NDOT director, Tracy Larkins, and we had talked about simple things as, you know, paint the lines a little bit better and reduce the speed limit, put trucks in the right lane, reduce truck speeds, just things like that you would see in a lot of safety corridors in other states. Where you have congestion and mountainous topography and things like that. And those we're hoping are being really short-term solutions. They're inexpensive solutions. They're common sense types of things that can increase safety on that corridor without necessary major capital improvements. And then, of course, the long-term solutions are major capital improvements. That would be widening the highway, improving the highway, creating a north connector, all different kinds of options. So the bill talks about that. And what the bill says is for the short-term solutions, that once these agencies and Story County collaborate and come up with solutions, then NDOT would go to the state at the 2024 interim session to get budget funding. Again, not a lot of money for some of the suggestions that might solve some of the problems. And then that they would work on the long-term solutions, budget funding for the major improvements for, you know, interchanges, all of that. At least in our conversation, Ms. Larkin seemed to be receptive to what we were talking about. She's still getting her feet wet and learning about the departments. She's brand new, but she has she lives in Lyon County. She has experience along this interstate. She understands its needs, and she has experience that goes back to actually in kind of like traffic management engineering and that sort of thing. So we're encouraged at this point to at least continue this conversation with her. But nonetheless, it's a bill to go to the legislature that would require these things to happen. Do you have any questions on that so far?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding that?
No questions, just a comment that I would hope that we are successful in implementing some of these safety corridor issues sooner than later. I think waiting for funding in 2024 leaves a lot of months of dangerous travel out there. And I know the impacts are significant. I just had a report there were two of the key Google employees killed on I-80. And that's a tragic loss, both to Google and to our community. So slowing those speed limits down and implementing some of the safety corridor features that don't require a lot of budgetary control, I would hope could be implemented sooner than later.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything on the safety corridor bill?
Yeah, I would echo those sentiments. You know, I attended a kind of an update from some NDOT staff a week or two ago, and yeah, it became pretty clear to me that we were years and years off unless there's an overwhelming political push from the state executive branch to prioritize it, that it's not at the top of the priority list, and that any physical improvements beyond the stuff that we're talking about, increasing capacity, would have to go through the NEPA process with an environmental assessment that's a minimum 18 months, 2 years, 3 years before you even look at starting construction. And so I believe that that's an important lobbying area for us to see if NDOT will at least get started on the environmental review so that that clock can get ticking so that the long-term solutions can be brought up. But absent some real pushing in that regard, we're probably looking 7 to 10 years before there's a substantial increase in capacity on that freeway. And so I think it's just that much more timely to take on the smaller capital cost, short-term solutions, as well as you know, and all of the above approach, looking at alternate routes and everything else. But these things it has to be addressed. We can't just let it keep going the way it is. And you know, the biggest issue, some people may balk at the thought of lowering speed limits, but the real issue is when you have an accident, which seems to happen almost every day in that corridor, and traffic backs up for hours on end. And then, you know, that there really is no easy workaround. Some people start cutting through